Hello, I'm Andy Zaltzman. On his trip to China this week, the Prime Minister has apparently been using old-style burner phones to avoid the risk of sensitive information getting into the wrong hands. So here on the News Quiz, to stop any Chinese Communist Party topical radio comedy panel shows hacking into our jokes, we are also using old-fashioned technology to make this week's shoe. Oh, hang on, there's a spelling mistake in the script. Chisel, please. Thank you. This week's show. There we go. That's better. So without further ado, welcome to... Oh, I need page two. Welcome to... Hang on, I'll just wind up the gramophone for the theme tune. The News Quiz! Hack into that, G. Welcome to the News Quiz. I'm Andy Zaltzman. Later on in the show, we'll be giving you advice on what great successful military forces from history to name-check if you're trying to intimidate a foe. And just a quick heads-up in case you're listening from the White House, Armadas did not have a completely flawless record. But first, let's meet our teams. To commemorate the Keir Starmer versus Andy Burnham showdown, we have Team Knight against Team Mayor, which seems kind of appropriate. On Team Knight, we have Hugo Rifkind and Holly Walsh. And on Team Mayor, Delito Schaponda and Kiri Pritchard-McLean. Right, let's start back at the start of the week, a simple innocent time when all the world had to worry about was the President of America and his buddies making up outright lies about dead people and whether the UN could hack out a viable, lasting peace deal between the Beckhams. So, at the start of the week, this can go to Hugo and Holly, 50 Labour MPs signed what?
Right, this is about the Gorton and Denton by-election. Andy Burnham, the mayor of Manchester, he wanted to run in it. But in order to run, his candidacy needs the approval of the party, which is headed by Keir Starmer, which itself needs the approval of the NEC, which is also headed by Keir Starmer. Because Andy Burnham, this is the whole point, he wants to get back into Parliament and perhaps, you know, take over as PM. In order to be a rival to Keir Starmer, he first needs to ask Keir Starmer. And then Keir Starmer needs to ask Keir Starmer. And Keir Starmer said no. And the reason he gave was he said, basically, it's because if Andy Burnham ran in the by-election in Manchester, they'd have to have another election to be the mayor of Manchester, because you can't be mayor of Manchester and an MP at the same time, which is true, because if you're the mayor of Manchester, you're also the police and crime commissioner, and you can't be a police and crime commissioner if you're an MP, I guess, in case you need to arrest yourself. And Burnham now says he only wanted to be the mayor of Manchester to defend Manchester from reform, winning the by-election in Manchester, which was a risk worth taking even if he stopped being the mayor and then they won the by-election in Manchester, at which point you sort of start wishing everyone would stop saying Manchester. But, now, anyway, the point being, 50 MPs have written a letter to Keir Starmer and they're very cross because they do want Andy Burnham to stand. The weird thing is, although 50 MPs have written to him, nobody knows who they are. It's an anonymous letter. Like on Valentine's Day.
Do they do it in the form of a sort of quirky little poem?
Yeah, it's like, we hate you and think you should stand down. Guess who?
Labour are red, Tories are blue. I'm Andy Burnham and I want to screw you.
Yeah, I mean, it is a kind of curious time for the Labour Party. And, yeah, they cited the cost of the mayoral election to replace Burnham as the reason for not letting him stand, and it was absolutely definitely nothing to do with the inevitable and unstoppable Vesuvius of daily, probably hourly, at times militarily speculation about him taking over from Starmer as leader one day, quite soon, maybe actually in one day's time. So, I mean, where do you think they stand now, Holly, as a...
I don't understand what is going on. I've got no idea. It's all very traitors, isn't it? I mean, like, you've got Keir Starmer going, is he a faithful or is he a traitor and trying to kill me? It's very hard to tell, but... I mean, by-elections at the best of times are pretty boring. Yeah, I don't even know
not
why
you... Not anymore, though. Have you really noticed? I think this is a side mission from reform. Because, like, obviously their whole thing is, like, just kick anyone out the country who doesn't look like them. But I think what their side hustle is to bring back the by-election, to bring back some pizzazz to it. Caerphilly by-election, big news. Now this Gorton and Denton one, big news. I think that that is reform's most honourable thing, is to make by-elections great again. That is what they've done. And I appreciate, because now we're all talking, we would never have been discussing this otherwise if it wasn't the threat of reform taking it.
There's always a positive side. I'm glad you've...
Now, I live in Manchester, and I just warn Starmer Starmer to mess with Burnham at his own peril, because he's actually like half Mancunian, half from Liverpool, right? This is like being half Palestinian, half from Israel. Like literally, he is the embodiment of making two groups that do not work together work together. And if they're not careful, he's going to get Reform and the Greens working together.
In their own... I should just apologise to anyone who really doesn't think that we should trivialise the Manchester-Liverpool rivalry. Yeah, I mean, how likely is a leadership tilt, do you think, from someone at Keir Starmer within the next? Because we're only 18 months into a 5-year. Do we just have short attention spans now? We can't.
It's
just
TikTok, isn't it? It's gone for us all. We're too busy on TikTok, and our attention spans are now the same for the leaders. But I mean, it is a case of Keir Starmer will not be here at the next election as leader, so he's just sort of trying his time and trying these stalling tactics. But it's not going to make him more popular. And I think he's doing it as a show of strength, but actually it's making him look like he doesn't believe that he would win, or, you know, that a challenge wouldn't be successful. So I think it's going to backfire slightly. And I think Andy Burnham's got the cool, like, underdog vibe now. And we love an underdog.
I mean, Burnham, he did try and be Labour leader twice before. Mm. Didn't really get very far. He's one of these people, this sort of happens, people rise in everyone's estimation if they're quite far away from getting the job. You know, like Gordon Brown did it and then he got the job and it was like, oh dear. You know, David Miliband did it and then he didn't even get the job because he got sort of stabbed in the back by his own brother. And Labour's got this thing at the moment of kind of like, anyone would be better. And it's like, yeah, but if you narrow it down specifically, like from anyone to somebody, they're kind of like, oh, no, then it gets harder. Yeah. And it is very hard to see anyone who would actually be doing better than Starmer. I think he will be there at the next election because Labour's really bad at getting rid of leaders as well.
Sounds like betting talk.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
How much do you bet?
I bet nothing.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Angela Rayner, there was talk of her career being on the up again. And there's only, you know, 3.5 years of national bickering time until the next general election. So time is of the essence. But what did Angela Rayner suggest that Labour needs to do to get back in favour with the public?
Was it something to do with being led by Angela Rayner?
I think that was the subtext rather than the overt text.
I think she should rebrand herself Angela. It's just a strong political name, Angela Rayner. Yeah. Then you're going to be like, she sounds sensible. Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, is it? She said, be unapologetically Labour.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Angela Rayner, it has got credentials in terms of being kind of old Labour, I guess, you know, more on the socialist side of things. So she thinks that that's sort of pandering to Reform is not working for Labour. So they need to, that's mission drift. So they need to get back to being old school Labour.
She should have a slogan, sorry, but we're unapologetically Labour.
She was saying that they need to be unapologetic about their agenda, proud of their agenda. The problem with that is, in order to do that, you do need an agenda.
She's basically just one of those people who goes, that's just me. I say it as I see it. If you don't like it, that's who I am.
It's really like the kind of woman who has a birthday week.
Yeah,
she's very much that vibe.
So, I mean, what would be your suggestions, anyone, for how Labour can reverse their political horse and cart out of the quarry of disillusionment that they've ridden
I think
into?
Invade Greenland. I think they talked everyone out of it and then get in there quickly. And then put Burnham as mayor of Greenland. Easy.
Yeah. Although you'd have to be Meltham if it was Greenland, I think, rather than Burnham.
I think they could solve, like, literally all their problems in one very, very easy way, which is just if they all of them, joined Reform.
At the moment, it does seem like politics should just be an opt-out of Reform rather than opt-into Reform.
So. Like with organ donation.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Burnham also denying that he'd been less than completely honest in the timeline of what he knew when, in terms of whether or not he'd be allowed to stand. He said Westminster insiders don't get a licence to lie. But do you think that should be introduced so that we all know where we stand? If we know some politicians have an official licence to lie...
Well, I mean, you can get a provisional licence to lie.
Also, we don't actually want an honest politician. Everyone thinks they do, but it would be so depressing. Could you imagine someone's like gets on television like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trying. We need mean lie to me?
Well, you know what?
Give me a false sense of security.
The last time we had an honest politician was when Gordon Brown had a hot mic and he called a woman a bigot. That was the last time we had an honest politician.
But interestingly, the guy who was the previous incumbent in the seat of Denton and Gorton.
Gordon and Denton.
Doesn't it sound like a sort of double act from the 80s whose sketches are not allowed to be shown anymore? They cannot be repeated because of the accent. But in previous incumbent, Andrew Gwynn, he got sacked. Well, one of the things he got done for was just a leaked WhatsApp message where he basically was very rude about somebody for complaining about bins, right? And hope they died.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is probably what most MPs think on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And yet when you do see a sort of glimpse behind the curtain, they get in real trouble for it.
Also, I think no one should ever get in trouble for leaked WhatsApp messages because if WhatsApp messages of everybody leaked, society would fall apart.
I did love that Bigoted Woman Day when Gordon Brown got caught on the hot mic saying
that's National Bigoted Woman Day.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. It was like my favourite day in journalism because he said it and then this massive fuss kind of blew up. Remember, and he had to go to her house and apologise. Yes, and he went to her house and you saw him go in and you had the country's press outside pointing cameras at the door. And then he was in there for ages, and we were all watching it in the newsroom going like, what's happening in there? And it was total silence. And then someone just from the back goes like, do you think he might have killed her?
ahead of the imminent Gorton and Denton by-election, Labour's NEC chose to be dented now and gored later. They told the party that they can't stand Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham. Sorry, as their candidate in the seat. Labour weighed up the improved chance Burnham would give them of winning a by-election they look likely to lose anyway against the near certainty of losing a mayoral election they don't need to hold and went with option A instead of option A. because as the old political saying goes, better a carrot in the eye socket now than a bigger carrot in the other eye socket later. And who can argue with that? It's like Starmer sort of stuck perennially in a kind of series of impossible choices. It's kind of fox, grain, chicken scenario, you know, with the fox and the grain and the chicken in the boat, only the boat is made of salt, so it has a tendency to dissolve in water. And instead of a fox, there's a cannibalistic hyena. And instead of the grain and the chicken, there are two more cannibalistic hyenas. And you are dressed as a zebra carcass. So there's just not an obvious win. On the subject of metaphorical cannibalism, let's move on to the Conservative Party. The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, said the Conservative Party no longer needs or wants what?
Votes.
Votes? that's sort of the implication. Any other suggestions?
They no longer want the centre ground.
Yes, centrist ideas.
Centrist. She said. Yes. They don't want anything central now. Yeah. They don't want to have centre ground, centre forwards, they don't want those. Centre parks, the holiday Kemi Badenoch can ruin. Centre folds.
Centre partings as well, yeah.
Centre partings, yeah.
What are they?
Central heating.
But it's been, the Tories are in, they're in this really weird place because it's like, this is because Suella Braverman defected to Reform. She followed Robert Jenrick. And everyone's sort of forgotten about Suella Braverman, but you might remember some of her greatest hits, like the Rwanda policy and standing on a guide dog, which is...
Is defection really the right term? Because if you look at everything she's said all her career, I think it's like she's come out of the closet.
Yes.
She's always been Reform.
She's joined her people. Yes, I think that's probably right. There's now more members of Boris Johnson's cabinet in Nigel Farage's shadow cabinet than there are in Kemi Badenoch's shadow cabinet. She came out and said, good riddance to them, they can go off to the right. And so lots of Tories were like, hooray, we're moving back to the centre. And she was like, no, you're even worse. And so it's like you always get this idea with Kemi Badenoch that her happy place, what she really wants, is a Conservative Party with only her in it, which would last about a week before she launched into a vicious fight against herself.
I think it's wild that the press release that the Conservatives put out after Suella Braverman defected, being like, we really hope her mental health gets better, is like the most messy thing I have. Like, is Brooklyn Beckham writing this for you? Like, it's...
So, basically, Reform, which built itself on its anti-establishmentism, is now a hospice for the barely pulsing careers of failed Tories.
You could see Nigel Farage when they did their press conference, when she joined, you could see him looking nervous about it. Like, she was there kind of sort of nestled sweetly into his neck, beaming. And he looked like a man who's thinking, I hope my wife doesn't see these photos.
But, I mean, Reform always managed to find a way of getting themselves in the headlines. There was a headline this week. police uncover biggest ever stash of stolen tools. That was a separate story. It wasn't about defections. But anyway, they're inescapable now, and the latest Tory lemming to leap off the Conservative cliff onto the waiting fly-tip mattress of Reform UK was Suella Braverman, the being-sacked-from-cabinet specialist. The alienating her own colleagues fan described the Conservative Party as bitter and desperate. You can just make up your own jokes there. moving on. According to polling, almost half of women aged 18 to 24 are planning to do what?
Get a Harry Styles ticket?
I think it's way more than that.
Cut in a fringe they regret?
But I've had plenty of fringes I regret, but they're all in Edinburgh.
It's vote green.
Vote green, correct.
It's really interesting, this. Like, it could be because women these days are more likely to be graduates, more likely to be against austerity than men, and so their politics could be drifting left, or it could be because Zach Polanski has hypnotised them and told them it'll make their breasts bigger. A while ago I was writing about it because, you know, Zach Polanski, he did do an interview in The Sun when he was a Harley Street hypnotherapist, where he did say he could hypnotise women to make their breasts bigger.
Wouldn't it be easier to hypnotise the person looking at the breasts to imagine they're bigger? Because that's just a mind thing. There's no physical change.
Deliso, I'm not a doctor. You know. The woman who interviewed, the son sent to interview him, she wrote it up and she said, the article basically ends going like, it's a week later, they're still growing. And she's never been heard from again. She's like 15 years ago.
She's just floating up in the atmosphere somewhere on a zephyr.
Well, politics are completely, you look at the polls now, we've got Labour and the Tories around or just below 20%, Greens and Reform UK doing well. And have things properly changed? Was this just
actually, I would love a world where the next election was really just a Greens versus Reform, because I can actually tell the difference between them.
Polanski's policy described as eco-populism. Is this going to work, do you think?
Eco-populism?
I mean, there is, you know, there's still a surprising number of British voters who, for whatever reason, do think that future generations have a right to exist. And so, I mean, is this, you know, potentially tapping into that? You know, that, I mean, it might be a small part of the electorate, but still quite a significant part.
Yeah, no, I think in this by-election, I think they are... I mean, they haven't put up their candidate yet, at least at the time of talking. So you don't quite know. And Reform's got this guy, Matt Goodwin, former academic, who he's not from Manchester, but he sort of says he is, which is kind of weird.
He delivered pizzas.
He delivered pizzas, yeah. He said in the past, he disputed the idea that people are British just because they have British citizenship. He said it takes more than a certificate to make somebody British.
What?
But apparently...
have you been missold, Delisa?
Yes! But all those exams for nothing! For nothing!
Delisa, all you have to do is deliver some pizzas here, and you're from here.
OK.
No, all you have to do is start a fight at a wedding, then you're British.
You know, he ate a book once, Matt Goodwin. He said Corbyn wouldn't get more than 38%, and then he got 40%. He said, if he does, I'll eat my own book live on Sky News. And then he got 40%, and he went on Sky News and began eating his book. There's a bit in the middle where he's got a mouthful of book, and he goes, it's a hardback.
That's the most Alan Partridge thing I've ever heard.
I don't think he finished the book.
I think they just put him up because his surname's Goodwin. That's the only reason. Like, the reason why Labour haven't found anyone, they're desperately searching for someone called Jerry Landslide.
Yeah, economically, some have questioned the Greens' reliance on taxing the hyper-wealthy to pay for the nationwide hydraulic platform they're going to build to lift Britain above rising sea levels. But the problem is that taxing billionaires is like using dolphins as jet skis. Yes, it's a lovely idea, but they always find a way of slithering their way out of it. At the end of that round, it's 10 to Deliso and Kiri and 8 to Holly and Hugo. So we'll give Holly and Hugo first go at this question to try and get back into it. Keir Starmer this week became the first Prime Minister for 8 years to do what?
Well, who was 8 years ago? Theresa May. Hold hands with Donald Trump?
It's not that.
Share a bed with Philip May?
As that is hearsay.
He went to China.
Yes, correct.
He's the first prime minister to go to China in 8 years. He's been hanging out with Xi Jinping, doing all kinds of weird deals. He did a really weird thing at a press conference where he said he was using this analogy that Xi Jinping had used to him, where he was saying that it's important to understand all of China. And he's saying it's like this Chinese saying about knowing the whole of an elephant, where like these blind men find an elephant. And it's a very placid elephant, you'd imagine, because it's being groped by all these blind men, and it doesn't seem to mind. So a Braverman would have stood on it, I suppose. But the one who only knows the leg thinks it's a pillar, and the one who only knows the ear thinks it's a fan.
Where's this going?
And the one who knows... And it sounds like the one who knows the whole of the elephant has his hand up its arse, but no. It's about once you see everything, you know it's an elephant, and that's what Keir Starmer wants to do with China. And if you don't know where this is going, it's not my fault, neither did I.
I love the idea that, like, if it was a reverse, Xi Jinping's like, and there's this amazing English saying that I think would really help us. See it, say it.
So one of the things that come out of it, apparently, is visa-free travel for going to China. Are you going to take advantage of that, anyone?
We had it already, is the thing.
Right.
I think it used to be 10 days, but they've pushed it up to 30 days.
Yes.
So if you want to go to China for 30 days, fill your boots. Yeah. Start the car.
News also just reaching us, just as China is getting their big new super embassy in London to give it optimum espionage options. The British embassy in Beijing is also being pimped up. Starmer's team reportedly sneaked in some yoghurt pots on strings and some fake moustaches.
The delegation from the UK were told not to go with laptops or phones or, you know, Tamagotchi or anything. Like, you had to go... I mean, imagine sitting next to Keir Starmer on a 10-hour flight without a phone or screen. That would be...
Yes, following concerns about potential security and spying risks from the new Chinese mega embassy in London, Keir Starmer launched an audacious counter-espionage jaunt by flying straight into the heart of Beijing and snooping around in the corridors of power. The UK delegation was given disposable phones to minimise the security risk, although when Keir Starmer was asked if he would like a handy burner mobile, he got... But it doesn't make you think, if only... with China and America. If only there was some major trade organisation that was sort of equidistant between China and America, politically and geographically, that we could... Anyway, look, it's a pipe dream. Right, the score is now 12 to Deliso and Kiri, 10 to Hugo and Holly. Right, let's get another round in. Almost a quarter of adults haven't done it at all in the last year. Young people aren't doing it nearly as much as they used to, particularly in the 1960s and 70s, but pensioners are doing it loads. Surprisingly loads, often in groups, sometimes with people they've only just met. What am I talking about?
Are there cameras in my room? Like, how do you know about this?
Is it Wordle?
It's not Wordle.
Is it ketamine?
Not. Warmer, but not...
Is it eating Werther's Originals?
That's not what I've got written down here.
Drinking.
Drinking, yes, correct. It is drinking. Bit of a trick question. You all thought I was going to say watch test match cricket, but it is is drinking alcohol. Well, why do we think this is happening, that the younger generation are much more abstemious than the older...
Because it's so expensive nowadays, and old people can afford it and young people can't, which is why they're all on ketamine.
Yeah, I do think that the price of booze, but also I think it's because their parents are maybe of a generation with more of a drinking culture. And I think when you see your parents get hammered and your mum's on the dance floor and there's a nipple popping out every now and then, you know, and she's got one shoe on, you're not like, that's what I want to be when I grow up.
See, this is precisely why I drink so much at home.
Yeah.
It's to set a good example for my kids.
Both nipples out. That's what you mean.
Also, with age, you need it. It's almost medication. Your body's giving in. There's pain. There's suffering. There's no hopes and dreams anymore. And it's also like it's more of a sacrifice because like a 20-year-old could drink and the hangover is just like a day, but you're like committing to this 5 days of pain because you need to forget the tedium of your life for an hour.
Are you saying the reason we drink so much is NHS waiting lists?
I find it really hard to drink now. I gave up drinking wine about 2 years ago. For starters, I've actually never drunk white wine and not used the phrase, why don't you just dump me then?
Well, the government has tried to help out the struggling hospitality sector by taking 15% off what?
The working day.
15% off the bill of anyone who gets a round in.
Is it 15% off bar stools so you're that bit closer to your pint?
15% off the number of hairs in a packet of pork scratchings.
Oh. Is it 15% off a 12% bottle of alcohol? Wine. So you're on minus 3%, so you have to drink a lot to get drunk.
I'm not sure that's how that maths works. Yeah.
Is it the business rates for pubs?
Business rates for pubs, yes. Which is going to amount to around about £1,650 per year for the average pub, which in the current commercial climate doesn't seem like a huge amount, like chucking a bit of bubblegum to Leonardo DiCaprio at the end of Titanic, saying, blow it up and see if it helps you float. is it going to make any difference to pubs? It's a tough time for pubs.
Yeah.
Pubs are cross. They're all banning Labour MPs. Which I was speaking to a Labour MP about this the other day, saying, what's it like that, you know, you're all banned from going into pubs? And he said, well, everyone's quite upset about it, but on the plus side, people are really pleased that they know who we are.
Yeah, well, pubs have been, you know, hit by various factors, including increased rents and staffing costs, the declining popularity of getting so drunk that you wake up on the roof of a cathedral, naked but for a traffic cone, chained to a statue of Florence Nightingale. Just me. Well, at the end of this week's news quiz, our winners are Holly and Hugo. Bad our winners walk away with the former Tory cabinet minister of their choice. They're literally giving them away now. Any preference?
I've already got one.
Our losers win tickets to the new Melania Trump documentary. Just some news breaking, I say. President Trump has warned the Iranian government that he will launch military strikes against Iran the minute his approval rating in polls in America drops below minus 20%. So keep an eye on that over the weekend. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. Taking part in the news quiz were Delise O'Shaponda, Kiri Pritchard-McLean, Hugo Rifkind and Holly Walsh. In the chair was me, Andy Zaltzman, and additional material was written by Christina Riggs, Cameron Loxdale and Sarah Mills. The producer was Georgia Keating, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4.